Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives today. And Jim, for our good martini, we go to the virtual pages of National Review Online and a great piece by some guy named Jim Garrity. And this is actually very well written and very, very good news, because one of the things we've been worried about is certain problems within government that are so entrenched, so huge, so widespread, that can you actually deal with them with some effectiveness? And the good news is that over at the VA, we might actually be seeing that happening. So here's how you start off the piece. Secretary of Veterans Affairs David Shulkin, probably the most unlikely member of Trump's cabinet, is off to a quick start. You mentioned in the piece that Trump's ambassador to Israel, David Friedman, really put in a good word for Shulkin during the transition, and that's why he got the nomination. And here's a list of bullet points of things that have gotten done already. The department announced last week that between the inauguration and July 3rd, it had fired 526 employees, demoted another 27, and temporarily suspended another 194 for longer than 2 weeks. In April, the department launched a new website that lets veterans compare the wait times at its facilities and view Yelp-style reviews of each facility written by previous patients. The crisis line, we talked about that as a bad or a crazy martini a few months ago, with veterans contemplating suicide having to wait a very long time and sometimes getting rolled over into call centers. That's almost never happening anymore. 90% of calls answered within 8 seconds, only 1% of calls being rerouted to a backup call center. More advancements with prosthetics. And he's also found hundreds, if not, I guess, over 1,000 buildings now that are either vacant or underutilized that could save the federal government $25 million a year. So there's a lot more to the story. But, Jim, this is a guy we were a little bit wary about because he came from the Obama administration. But it turns out he's actually got a real desire, a real fire in him to make sure that the veterans get the care they need.
He is. It was very refreshing and enjoyable to write good news for National Review. I'd seen a couple of those headlines over the preceding months and had talked to a couple of veterans groups around the time of the inauguration saying, well, you know, at some point after a couple of months, we should do a check-in and just see how he's doing. And as luck would have it, he's off to a really fast start. Now, I don't want to overstate this. No one's going to say that the VA is perfectly revving like the engine of a Corvette. There's still going to be some problems, still going to be some hitches, but most groups, including veterans outside groups, those who are seen as kind of on the right, like Concerned Veterans for America or other ones like the American Legion, which I just heard from Avik Roy this morning that they're way too wedded to the status quo. But they're both fairly impressed with what Shulkin is doing so far. You mentioned kind of the biggest initiatives. It's also worth noting that when time when Congress is having a ton of problems trying to repeal Obamacare, trying to get tax reform enacted, an infrastructure spending bill, they did get that big accountability bill through that gives Shulkin more authority to fire people, more whistleblower protections, kind of stricter standards in place when somebody reports misconduct or something going wrong. And most people are pretty pleased with what they're seeing so far. He's only been on the job for 5 months. We shouldn't overstate this. It's also been refreshing and enjoyable this morning or hearing from veterans who are saying, yeah, I did notice things a little bit differently at my local VA. Slightly quicker service, more guys being referred to an outside clinician or other facilities because of a long wait, things like that. And it's just very refreshing. And also kind of worth noting that David Shulkin, not only is he, you know, an Obama holdover from the past 2 years under McDonald, he is also the first non-veteran to head up the VA. A couple people were kind of, no one was you know, saying, oh, don't pick him because of that. But a couple people thought it was a little unusual. And so far, rave reviews. His background is in medicine. He's a doctor. He still treats patients when he has time in amidst all of his other duties. He says he did that because it's the best way to kind of stay in touch with the front lines and stuff. So all in all, you know, look, it's not to say that the VA is completely fixed, but things really seem to be moving in the right direction. And look, we'll see how things look by the midterms. But I think if Republicans go into the midterms saying, look, we fixed the VA or we put the VA a good ways down the road towards being what we all expect it to be, that'll be a fairly significant feather in their caps heading into a midterm election.
Yes, it would be. They're going to need a little more than that, but it is a huge effort, a huge endeavor, and so far some good news to report, and we're thrilled to see that, especially after everything the vets have given to our country. So let's move on to the bad martini now. Jim, and what's the thing that happens every time there's bad news for Democrats? The media immediately comes out and says, well, the Republicans are at risk of overplaying their hand, no matter what happens, no matter what the Republican response is.
Greg, aren't Republicans in danger of overreaching here?
But could that be happening now in the other direction? This is from USA Today. Well, it's happened. Despite the unlikelihood that Donald Trump would be impeached by a Republican majority House, a Democratic lawmaker on Wednesday introduced articles of impeachment against President Trump. Congressman Brad Sherman of California contended that the president should be impeached for his alleged interference with the FBI investigation into former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. According to former FBI Director James Comey's testimony before a Senate panel, the president said he hoped Comey would drop the probe into Flynn during a one-on-one meeting. Quote, I believe his conversations with and subsequent firing of FBI Director Comey constitute obstruction of justice, Sherman said in a statement. The Constitution does not provide for the removal of a president for impulsive, ignorant incompetence. It does provide for the removal of a president for high crimes and misdemeanors, unquote. Of the finding, Trump spokeswoman Sarah Huckabee Sanders says, quote, I think that is utterly and completely ridiculous and a political game at its worst. USA Today goes on to say, to be clear, this resolution is unlikely to go anywhere. Even now, Democratic Congressman Al Green of Texas is the only person who has stepped up to support Sherman, although other Democrats, I'm specifically thinking of Maxine Waters, have used that word in public. But even as news of this effort from Brad Sherman goes forward, far, far, far left people, like Gavin Newsom, the lieutenant governor of California, who wants to be the next governor, visiting the folks on the panel of Morning Joe, Joe Scarborough, the former Republican, now says that going after Russia as a political issue is a waste of time for the Democrats.
Could you explain to Democrats out there and your base how talking about Russia on the campaign trail is not going to be
used back and forth? I don't know what more evidence you need. I mean, the end of the day, even if you game this thing out, you get rid of Trump.
Right.
You're left with a guy who's out there talking about conversion therapy. Don't do anything.
Right.
For the Democratic Party in our agenda. So unless we deal with the issues of economic anxiety, cultural issues in a substantive way, and we get in the how business and we actually demonstrate with some acuity and strength a clear conviction in terms of the fate and future of this country, then we're never going to take back.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Nice chime in there, Mika. Jim, when Gavin Newsom thinks you're crazy far left, you're probably pretty crazy far left.
Yeah. By the way, we should not let that audio pass without letting people think that. No, as far as we know, we have not seen any confirmation to the rumor on Twitter that Mike Pence is capable of doing conversion therapy through mind and electrical powers. It's quite a bit on Twitter. You can find quite a people saying that Mike Pence can do that. But as far as we know, he does not have electrical powers that can change people's sexual preference. But moving on from that. Yeah. Look, here's Brad Sherman saying, look at me. Look at me. I want to impeach Trump. And then what's really kind of strange about it is he decides to introduce it now, citing the firing of Comey, which occurred, several months ago. And almost everybody, including Comey, would agree that Trump had every legal authority to do so. And the argument is, well, he did it to stop the investigation, except it didn't stop the investigation because the acting director just kept it going. Now, if he fires Mueller, if he goes on a Saturday Night Massacre style tirade, keep firing people until they'll stop the investigation. Well, then maybe you'll have an argument there, but that hasn't happened. Now, if you want to say you want to impeach Trump based on collusion, you could do that, except we don't have any real evidence of collusion. What we discussed earlier this week is that Donald Trump Jr., his reaction to that email certainly indicates he'd be open to collusion. He has no instinctive revulsion from collusion with the Russian government, but as far as we know, no collusion has occurred. So Brad Sherman basically introduced this. This is basically, please give me more money for fundraising. I need some attention act of 2017. And it's kind of interesting when you see Gavin Newsom, another California Democrat, saying, all right, knock it off. This is not going to help us, guys. This is very inside the beltway. Now, look, I'm not one of those guys who thinks this is all nonsense and nobody should pay any attention to it. There might be something there. We probably will know more when Mueller reports more. Certainly the email to Donald Trump Jr. was a surprise, and his reaction was a surprise. But, what's very, very clear is the Democrats basically want to pretend the 2016 election didn't happen. They want to undo it. And a lot of conservatives might say, okay, let's undo it and put Mike Pence in charge. But you can't just impeach a president because you feel like it. And that's more or less what these articles of impeachment he introduced amount to.
Yeah. But even though Gavin Newsom was more sober-minded than Brad Sherman right there, California voters, not that you're going to listen to us, at least the majority of you probably, if you think your state's circling the drain now, elect Gavin Newsom. You'll be well below the surface of the drain in 4 years.
He'll turn the whole state into San Francisco.
Because that's what everybody wants. All right, let's move on to the crazy martini now, Jim. And if by some measure the House flips in 2018, I don't think at this point that's likely to happen, but say the Democrats get the House and all of a sudden they do get gung-ho about impeachment for whatever reason, then of course the issue would go to the Senate, which of course it would die because the Democrats will certainly not have the votes to convict, and they'll have even fewer votes to convict if this guy gets elected.
It was 1989, my thoughts were short, my hair was long, caught somewhere between a boy and man. She was 17 and she was far from in between. It was summertime in northern Michigan.
That's Robert Ritchie. Some folks know him better as Kid Rock. Jim, we've talked about him earlier this year when an official with the Michigan Republican Party thought it would be great if he ran. Now Kid Rock is adding a little more intrigue to the situation because on his Twitter page, which we should point out is actually run by his record company, he had two tweets yesterday. One says, "I have had a ton of emails and texts asking me if this website is real, kidrockforsenate.com. The answer is an absolute yes." The follow-up tweet is, "Stay tuned. I will have a major announcement in the near future," signed Kid Rock. So I don't know if that means a new album or actually announcing his political ambitions. But Jim, Kid Rock against Debbie Stabenow, hard to imagine a greater contrast in styles.
Now, this is not the first time we've seen Kid Rock either dip his toe into the realm of politics or various other the political world. He did endorse Mitt Romney in 2012. He, in fact, did a fundraising concert for him. This part is not a joke. Kid Rock said he was curious but skeptical until he heard Mitt Romney's plan to help fix Detroit and to help restore the economy of Michigan, which is also Mitt Romney's home state from his boyhood years. So they bonded over that. And then what I like to add is that they also bonded over Mitt Romney's full back tattoo saying good manners. So look, maybe Kid Rock is kind of this closeted semi-Republican who's eager to jump in. You mentioned the point about the Twitter account. It's also worth noting, I think it was Rebecca Berg and other folks at the Real Clear Politics Observe. If you look at the terms of use on the website, it says this site is operated by Warner Brothers Records. Now, I don't believe a corporation can set up a Senate campaign website for one of its employees. It certainly would have to file papers with the FEC. None of that has happened. Greg, I don't know, I just fully would expect instead of, you know, Warner Brothers Records doing something like that, you would see something like Michiganders United for Debang Debang Diggy 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 or something like that. Something more explicitly sounding more like a political campaign committee or something like that. So maybe if this is all a giant effort to hype a new album release or something, I think we'll all be kind of disappointed, or at least I'll be disappointed, because really, once you had Donald Trump as president, sure, why not? Let's put Kid Rock in the Senate, right? You know, obviously, many people have speculated that at some point, if Kid Rock were to be elected in 2018, then he would be fairly experienced come the next presidential election, so that if Dwayne Johnson, a.k.a. The Rock, were to run for president, he could select Kid Rock as his running mate, and you would have a Rock 2020 ticket.
You know, 4 years ago, that would have seemed 100% ridiculous.
Can you imagine a celebrity running for president? What party would nominate people like that?
Amazing. If you're a Michigan Republican politician at the state level or you know, state house, state senate, and so forth, and your state party is more excited about a potential Kid Rock candidacy, what does that say about the bench in the great state of Michigan?
Well, hold on. Let's not be too hasty, Greg, because remember, there also have been periodic rumors that Ted Nugent would run for president.
You got that right.
Or run for Senate. So, I mean, I look at this and I see Kid Rock as the sensible, moderate, even tempered. Some are going to call him a cuckservative. Some are going to say that he's not really, you know, authentic enough. But I'm perfectly happy with Kid Rock, the sensible, level-headed moderate that you can count on for Michigan Senate.
Whoa. So if you had a vote in Michigan, you'd vote Kid Rock over Nugent?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But, okay. I mean, look, Kid Rock has already knocked Kid Scissors out of the Republican primary. The only one who could stop him is Kid Paper.
Oh, man. Either one of those on the debate stage with Stabenow would be must-see TV. And I hope it's like an hour and a half or 2 hours just to watch her squirm for that one.
Could you picture Kid Rock, Ted Nugent, and like generic Republican state senator? Irving Schmidlap, you know, all of a sudden, like, you know, yes, I, you know, I am indeed back with the bada bada. or assassinating opposition, yay or nay, Ted Nugent, maybe, you know.
Actually, Schmidlap would probably fare fairly well if both of the other guys are on stage, because they would split the, let's just call it the non-traditional
the theatrical demographic. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. So, but we'll see.
The entertainment wing of the Republican Party, as some people call it.
We'll see. I mean, if Kid Rock announces, that's going to scare a lot of people out of this thing, probably. So who knows? Jim, it's a strange new world we live in. Talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And be sure to tune in again on Friday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.